The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Cameron Hill from Off the Ball. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, the European Championships are underway at the moment and some quite thrilling games.
Yeah, some really interesting games, but I'm conscious that people are probably involved in a sweepstakes for the Euros that mightn't necessarily know a whole pile about football and might be going along to watch parties. So I've kind of curated a few interesting facts to amaze your mates while you're watching.
Let's go back to the very beginning. When was the first?
Well, the first official European Championship was in 1960. Obviously, there were European teams playing international competitions before that. The Home Nations Championship between England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. And there was one between the likes of Austria, Italy and Czechoslovakia back in the 20s, who were the big football teams then. But the first pan-European competition was first floated by Henri Delaunay. He was a French football administrator back in 1927. Now, a small thing called World War II probably delayed the creation of this tournament. Mm-hmm. And the first actual tournament started in 1958, 3 years after the death of Delaunay and 4 years after the creation of UEFA, which is the European footballing governing body. So the first proper competition took place in 1960. 17 teams applied to be a part of it, including Ireland. We were one of the first few countries to take part. England and the Netherlands were notable absences, but we were randomly... this is just our luck. We were randomly drawn for a preliminary qualifier against Czechoslovakia while the other 15 teams got byes, and we played them in a two-leg match. We won the first one 2-0 in Daly Mount Park with goals from Noel Cantwell and the captain Noel Cantwell and Liam Toohey, but then lost 4-0 in Prague. So we do have the honour.
We did not qualify.
We didn't qualify, no. We were out almost straight away.
So the 17 applied, 16 got through. We were the also ran.
We have the honour of being the first team knocked out of European qualifying, which, make of that what you will.
Who made it to the final?
It was the Soviet Union and Yugoslavia. So the Soviet Union were in the middle of their footballing golden age. Lev Yashin, people might have heard, one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time, was between the sticks for them. And they won 2-1 in the final in the Parc des Princes. I just find it amazing that it's the first European final was between two teams that no longer exist. I always find that quite curious.
Yeah, the Soviet Union gone and Yugoslavia now broken up into all its constituent parts. The interesting thing was, for a period, and I can't remember exactly when, the Soviet Union or Russia was represented almost entirely by Dynamo Kiev, which of course is now Ukraine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's mad to think they were the powerhouses. I mean, you have so many teams to choose from within there.
Now, tell me about the Italian coin toss.
So there's always been a debate on how to decide a game that's deadlocked. In 1976, the first penalty shootout was brought in at the Euros, and famously, Antonin Panenka won with his famous chipped penalty to win it for Czechoslovakia against West Germany in the 76 final.
And people are still not happy with penalties. They're pretty exciting, but it's not a good way to resolve.
No, it feels particularly cruel, doesn't it?
Yeah, after 120 minutes, you know.
Yeah, it comes down to how good you are at a spot kick with all the pressure on you. And then golden goal was brought in for about 10 years, and that was very unpopular. That was a sudden death match. First goal wins, basically. So before that, even, you talk about penalty shootouts being unfair. At least it wasn't like the 68 semi-final between hosts Italy and Czechoslovakia, or Soviet Union, I should say, who played out this brilliant semi-final. Italy had been beaten by the Soviet Union in 64 and the 66 World Cup. And famously, that wasn't a great tournament for them anyway. They lost to North Korea in the first round. But the Soviet Union were hoping to get a bit of silverware to end that aforementioned golden age. Deadlocked after normal time, deadlocked after extra time. What happens next? Some accounts vary on what happens, but here's the account of the Italian captain, Giacinto Facchetti. We went up with the Russian captain and we went down to the dressing rooms together, accompanied by two administrators from the two teams. The referee pulled out an old coin. I called tails. It was the right call and Italy were through to the final. I raced upstairs as the stadium was still full and about 70,000 fans were waiting to hear the result. The celebrations told them that they could celebrate an Italian victory. A coin toss, Pat.
On the toss of a coin. Well, it's probably as fair as penalty shootout.
Ah, but wouldn't you be livid?
Yeah, toss of a coin.
Why didn't I say
heads?
Or just a best of three.
Now, tell me about Will Griggs.
So, Euro 2016, I think, holds a special place in all of our hearts. It's the last tournament that Ireland qualified for, the last major tournament. They became the media darlings of the tournament. If you remember, there was great scenes of Irish fans around Paris and various French cities. After a 1-1 draw with Sweden and a 3-0 defeat to Belgium, we went through to the last 16 thanks to Robbie Brady's winner, beating Italy 1-0, then lost 2-1 to France. It's also the last time that Northern Ireland were qualifying for a major tournament, and they finished brilliantly top of their qualifying group thanks to 7 goals from Kyle Lafferty. But the star of 2016 was Will Grigg. So then 25 years old, he was playing for League One side Wigan Athletic and scored 25 goals as they secured promotion to the Championship. It prompted one Wigan fan to create a musical tribute to Grigg at the end of the season, which became the soundtrack to Euro 2016.
It's hard to figure that out. I mean, the original, I presume, is in hi-fi and wonderful production values.
Beautifully done. But it's the authenticity of the fans, Pat. And it was everywhere. Because I happened to be over there in Paris during the tournament. And literally, there wasn't a Northern Ireland fan to be seen. But that song was just pouring out of every pub and every square in Paris.
And Will Grigg, did he play?
Well, here's the interesting thing. So Northern Ireland escaped Group C before going out to eventual semi-finalist Wales in the last 16. But the Will Grigg phenomenon continued throughout the tournament to the extent that when fans were invited to vote on their player of the tournament, Francis Antoine Griezmann came out on top. But Will Grigg came 25th in the vote. Now, he didn't play for Northern Ireland at all during the tournament. So he was the 25th best player at a tournament, having
never
not played a single minute. But it's just a testament to the craziness of European football and what this championships can be.
What are you thinking looking at the championship as it unfolds at the moment?
It's hard to know. So we've only had one real look at the teams. But I think tonight's game between Spain and Italy will be huge. And I think Spain have been the most impressive so far. They're a young side. They've yet to really mature. I think they could be crowned as a real force.
And have Scotland stopped the rot last night?
You'd like to think so. You'd like to see them go through. They seem like absolutely brilliant fans. I saw one get clocked in the head with a shot yesterday and was absolutely fine afterwards. So they're a resilient bunch.
All right. Well, a few more weeks to go on that. Cameron Hill, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.